Some of us, this may be a reminder of a father that has already passed away, maybe even a father that wasn't what a father should have been. Man, we just need to be reminded that we have a Heavenly Father who is absolutely perfect, and He loves us just the way we are. And man, He walks with us, and He gets us through those difficult times. But I want to commend all the dads that are here for communicating the importance of pursuing the things of God to your family. And I believe that the message here today can help you do that. I sense the Lord leading us away just for 1 week from our Zechariah study. And I actually had a completely different message that was ready to go, almost ready to go. And the Lord led me here. I have shared this message before, but it is for dads, but not just for dads. Because these truths, they apply to all of us. Wherever you are, a dad with kids still in the home or out of the home, a mom or whatever, not a mom, it doesn't matter who you are, these truths can help you pursue your relationship with Jesus. This is based on cross training by Dr. Greg Frizzell, and it is a holistic list to assist believers in examining our hearts that really can lead us to a deeper fellowship with the Lord. And so this Father's Day, it is a great time for us to take a step back and corporately evaluate where our hearts really are. So these seven areas can very easily slip under the radar when we get in the ruts of our daily routines. And so I just want to encourage you to listen closely to God's voice and to claim the forgiveness we are promised in 1 John 1. See, a lot of times when we first hear, Satan wants us to hear this message through a condemning voice, but that's not God's. I've said it before, our God loves to bring up sin because He loves to forgive. 1 John 1 tells us that. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. And so as we go through these seven categories, I encourage you to take a serious look at each one of them and allow your heart to answer the questions, ask and answer the questions that will follow. Number one on your outline is thoughts, our thought life. Do we have any sinful thought patterns that we need to confess? Because thoughts are rather interesting, aren't they? Because most of us, myself included, have a pretty good filter between what we think and what we say. So that most everybody else has no idea about what's really going on up in our heads. And I don't know about you, but if I am completely honest, it is shocking where my mind is capable of going if I don't practice self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit that I desperately need. I have heard it described as thoughts of the heart and thoughts of the mind. Thoughts of the mind, they come and they go, but thoughts of the heart, we ruminate on. We've heard that word before. It's the same word that describes a cow chewing its cud. So think about that. It's a disgusting picture, but they'll chew on it, then they swallow it, and then they bring it back up. Our thoughts are like that. Thoughts of the heart are like that. We ruminate on them. They may leave for a moment, but they always come back. They stick around. We dwell on them. And many times, that's when they have a better chance of becoming sinful thought patterns. Look at what the Word of God says, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think on these things. Make these things the thoughts of your heart, the thoughts that you ruminate upon. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We've seen this verse before, that phrase, living sacrifice. It's an oxymoron, because sacrifices were dead. Sacrifices are dead. But a living sacrifice must choose to stay on the altar. A living sacrifice must choose to not be conformed to this world. A living sacrifice must choose to renew the mind and to think on these things. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. It is a powerful verse, but it's easy to get lost in the wording. The PJV, the Pastor Jim version. We live in these bodies, but we walk by faith. What we don't see, there is a spiritual battle going on in all of our minds. And we are equipped with mighty weapons that are strong enough to overcome. According to verse 5, our thoughts can exalt themselves against God, against His Word, and against the truth. And don't we know that is true? And so we have to take every thought captive and put them under the authority and in obedience to Jesus Christ. So church, ask yourself these questions. Allow yourself, allow God, just you and God. Do we have any thought patterns that have exalted themselves against God and His Word, against the truth that the Holy Spirit is bringing up now? Chances are, maybe as the day and the week goes by, we'll recognize. Are some questions to ask. Do I frequently have unclean or impure thoughts? What is the root of that? Could it be the stuff that we're putting in, the stuff that we are watching? Is my mind often dominated by worldly thoughts? I got to get more money, more stuff, more success. What is the root of that? Is a heart that's not fully devoted to Jesus and not content with what He has given us and where He has us? Am I often angry or critical? What would the people that know us best, how would they answer that question for us? Am I frequently filled with fear rather than faith? Do I have any bitter thoughts? Am I mostly selfish in my thinking? And I know as we listen to these questions, it's really easy for our minds to go in this direction. I hope they're listening. I hope they're listening. I wish they were here to hear this. But let's allow the Lord to assess our own hearts today. Let the Holy Spirit speak to all of us, including myself. Are there any thoughts that I know I should confess and forsake? That leads to number two, attitudes. Number two on your outline is attitudes. Do I have any attitudes that I need to confess and lay before God? God said this to the lukewarm church in Revelation 3, 15 and 16. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And so His Word tells us that the attitude towards the things of God make Him sick. Making our Savior sick by the indifference that we have toward doing what He has called us to do and building His kingdom rather than our own. What about an attitude of pride? 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7. All of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, because He cares for you. There is an entire series of messages on pride and God's view of it. Don't I know that I am capable of embracing it? I don't have to work at putting me first. I have to work at putting God first. I have to work at putting others first. Do I have an attitude of pride that I need to confess? About an attitude of doubt? Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We live by faith, not by sight. Faith is why we're here. Faith has changed our eternities. When did we stop living by faith and start believing the lies that Satan loves to feed us? Now, we all work through doubts. I believe working through doubts in our faith is part of working out our salvation with fear and trembling that Philippians 2:12 speaks of. But we always have to come around and trust God even when it doesn't make sense, even when not feeling it. It doesn't feel like God is there. The faith is choosing to trust rather than choosing to doubt. What about an attitude of unkindness toward anybody? Ephesians 4:1-3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So here are some questions that we need to ask ourselves and God. Am I lukewarm in any way? Am I lukewarm in any way? Is there any area that I need to be more passionate for Jesus? Do I have an attitude of arrogance or pride? Do I have an attitude of anxiety or doubt? Do I come across harsh or unkind to others? Am I prejudiced? Do I have an attitude of materialism or worldliness? I know I'm capable of all of the above. That's why I need to stay on top of confession and repentance. Is there any attitude that you need to confess today? That leads to number three. We have thoughts, attitudes. Number three is speech. Number three is speech. As the church, as believers who claim Christ on our lives, our speech should be different from those that do not claim Christ. So hear the word of the Lord. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. So a couple of key words that stand out to me in this verse is what I say necessary, that word necessary there. Is what I say necessary? Does what I say impart grace? Notice Ephesians 5:3-5. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. And so notice here that the Word of God puts sins of speech in the same category as fornication. Both of them are not fitting. Now, those of us who may have trouble with sins of speech, we don't like to look at it like that, do we? That's what the Word of God says. Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with its deeds. 1 Corinthians 10:10. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. We can probably think of people that we know that all they ever do is complain. All they're ever, they're just looking for something to complain about. And God's people should not be that way. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So, some questions that we need to ask ourselves. Do I ever use inappropriate speech? Am I guilty of cursing? Have I participated in off-color jokes? Am I prone to exaggerating or lying? Do I frequently complain? Am I guilty of divisive speech? That's saying something that stirs the pot and puts negative thoughts about someone else in someone else's mind. Have I been critical or harsh? Are there any sins of speech that I need to confess to Jesus and be free from? Leads to number four. It is relationships. Our relationships. Do I have any damaged or wrong relationships that I need to confess? Consider all of your relationships. How about the ones here at church? Matthew 5, 23 through 24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and therefore remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way and first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Our God is a God of reconciliation, and God's people should be the first to reconcile. Why would anyone want to be a part of this place if all we ever do is harbor discord among ourselves? Some churches are like that. Oh Lord, let us not be like that. Matthew 6, 14 through 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you also. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. It's been said like this: we are never more like Jesus than when we forgive. I'll never forget when God spoke to my heart saying, bitterness counts. Bitterness counts. Does that affect any of us? Consider your relationships at home. Ephesians 5, 25 through 29. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also has loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Verse 33, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. It probably would not be a stretch to say that some of our homes are not God-honoring. And guys, in this passage, we get the most instructions because it starts with us. Some of our marriages don't honor God because a long time ago we let selfishness win, and now we're just stuck in this crazy cycle that does not honor God. Maybe today is the day that we decide to right the ship. For others, you're in a relationship that you're not supposed to be in. It doesn't honor God, and you've refused to do things God's way. There is no condemnation coming from God, but there is a call to action. So here are some questions to honestly ask the Lord. Are there people I've offended, yet I haven't been obedient and gone to them and talked through it? Is there anyone I'm holding a grudge or bitterness against? Have my relationships gotten out of balance? As a husband, have I failed to be the spiritual leader of my home? As a wife, am I neglecting my role to respect my husband, to be the helper God has called me to be? Have I played a divisive or conflicting role right here in my church family? What's God saying to your heart about relationships? That leads to number five, and that is actions or habits. Number five is habits. Do I have any actions or habits that I need to confess or forsake? Ephesians 5, 1 through 7. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that nor fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. What's God saying to you through his word? 2 Corinthians 6:17, God calls us to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Them there is unbelievers. Are our habits any different from unbelievers? First commandment, Exodus 23, you shall have no other gods before me. 1 John 3:18 through 22, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. By this we will know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. Whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So some questions that I need to honestly ask myself before the Lord. Have I been involved in any kind of immorality? Do I abuse my body with unhealthy habits? Have I put other people and things ahead of serving and worshiping God? Have I compromised my values? Do I mistreat others in any way? Have I gone places I should not go? Could the things I watch be considered questionable? All of these, they're difficult questions to ask and even more difficult to answer. But it's because we have avoided difficult questions like these that we end up down roads we never should have gone. Many sins of action, habits that the Lord has brought to your attention. We have thoughts, attitudes, speech, relationships, habits. Number 6 on your outline is sins of omission. Omission means we've left it out. John 15, 4 through 5. Abide in me. We sang it this morning. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. That word abide, it means to take up residence in. So you're moving in. Abide in Christ. How many times are we guilty of not abiding in Christ? We've taken up residence. Our hearts have taken up residence somewhere else. Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. See, as believers, our minds are new in Christ, but we still must be constantly renewing our minds with the things of God. James 1:22 through 25, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and is not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself and he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. There's that perfect law of liberty. It's the word of God. And when we allow it to audit these areas of our lives and allow it to change us in the way nothing else can, that's when we experience true freedom in Christ. Here are some questions to consider. Do I neglect abiding in Christ by ignoring daily Bible reading and prayer? Not because we have to check a box to earn our salvation. This is not some legalistic list of things. But because of our salvation, we want to know him better. We want to know Him more. We long for that time with God. Have I failed to discover and use my spiritual gift or gifts? Have I tolerated a spiritual stronghold in my life? Do I fail to work at deepening my marriage? Do I neglect to be a witness? What's God saying to your heart through His Word? Beyond the outline, beyond the messenger. Thoughts, attitudes, speech, relationships, habits, sins of omission, and finally, number 7, have I died to self? So have I refused to die to myself in any way or relied on my own strength? Matthew 16, 24 through 25. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it." John 24, 12. "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. "And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. And therefore I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Questions to consider. God told you to do something that you have ignored. Have you insisted on your way instead of God's? Have you ignored God's conviction in your life? Do you resist God's pruning in your life, cutting away those things so as to make room for more, better growth? Do you trust in methods and strategies more than God? Friends, when we sincerely confess our sins, God forgives. We go into this time of reflection. What has God said to you through His Word? Let's spend some time with this Holy Spirit, asking Him to help us rely on His power and His wisdom. And as we become spiritually cleansed, and as we make this spiritual cleansing a habit in our lives, we can truly live out Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." We want to be better dads and husbands. Guys, this is where it starts. We want to be a better wife, but a woman, this is where it starts. Allow the Word of God to penetrate your heart